Blog Talk Radio.
From a grown perspective, because a lot of these people supposedly call themselves grown, it's a lot of childish things that are going on. Lou, let's start off first with this DeAndre Jordan situation, the incident that's going on right now, as far as like, am I there? Am I not? Am I not? Am I not? You know, signed with Dallas originally, well, didn't really sign, but had an agreement in principle with Dallas owner Mark Cuban with a, what was it, 5-year, $100 million, I believe it was.
That was 80.
But 4-year, it was a 4-year, 80 million?
80. Yeah.
And now he's working on a 4-year, 88 million in L.A. So basically he gets more money, $2 million extra, so that's $88 million guaranteed. And that's what he's working on, and it seems like he is going back to the Clippers, which makes them an immediate contender because they just got Paul Pierce and Dwight Stevenson, right?
Lance Stevenson.
So, Lance Stevenson. What is wrong with me today? But anyway, that goes ahead, and that makes them an instant contender again for the Western Conference. And I put them, the Spurs, and Golden State as the top three to level off to go against one another in the final. And, semifinal for one, and the other one in the second round if it makes it that far. But those three teams are my top favorites in the Western Conference. Dallas is now an immediate dropout. They have nobody in the center position. Tyson Chandler is off to Phoenix, and now you just lost DeAndre Jordan and the opportunity or shot at him. That has to hurt, Lou. And why don't you give us some insight as to what was going on with this guy, as far as you know from what you hear?
Well, you already know there was problems within the camp, mainly between him and Chris Paul. And from the start of this situation, he was like, he was undecided from the beginning, whether should I leave or should I stay. So there was never anything definite there. So, and keep in mind, remember when all of this free agency fiasco was beginning, remember nothing is finalized until the night. So anybody can say or agree to something that looks good at the time, but before the deadline even comes, they can change their mind and go back. It's been done before. You know, Carlos Boozer did the same thing with Cleveland. He said he was going to, you know, sign with Cleveland, then come to the deadline the last minute. He's gone to Utah. Same thing this year with Wesley Matthews, did the same thing. He was supposedly committed to Kings, and then like the very next day, he's now committed with Dallas.
And you know, I see this, and I get it. Listen, let me tell you what I think happened. And I know you already have here, but this is what I thought. Okay. I'm tired of Chris Paul. I'm tired of him getting all the shine. I'm tired of him getting all the credit. I'm tired of him bossing me around. I'm going to go somewhere else so I can make a name for myself. I'm going to be making this kind of money. and I get to start over in the place where I grew up. All right, so initially, as they're talking to him, it's selling them, it's making sense, and it's sounding okay. This is going to be the perfect match, good proportion. I'll be with Dirk. We'll get in some people, Chandler Parsons. This looks like it has a little bit of promise. But then reality struck him. And it's like, wow, this is what I believe happened. See, reality kind of set in. And it's like, you know, I don't always get along with Chris Paul, but he's a much better point guard than what Dallas has. I mean, J.J. Barrera, I don't know. I'm just not sure he can get me the ball the way I need him to get me the ball. And, of course, I know you were speaking of, I don't know, would Parsons be playing point or two guard over there?
Who?
Parsons, would he be playing two guard over there, or would he be
primarily Parsons is a forward. Parsons is a small forward. Yeah.
What's he like, 6'6"?
J.J. Barrera.
6'6"?
J.J. Barrera and Devin Harris play point guard.
Devin Harris. Okay. See, I forgot about the Harris. You know, and you just brought something new to my attention. I didn't know he was a forward. I thought he was a shooting guard. What is he, 6'7"? 6'6"?
Yeah.
He plays like a shooting guard. But anyway, I think reality kind of set in with him, and he was like, you know what? I'm in California. I don't really get along with Chris Paul, but nobody over there is Chris Paul. And then now, how close am I going to get to a championship going there? And see, when you really put it together and you realize this probably wasn't the best move or career move for you. And I think he kind of reconsidered and saw that and started feeling a little bit homesick and saying, you know what? Let me take that deal off the table. Because initially, they said something to him to make him want to take it. Whether he realized it or not, he sat there and made an agreement. Whoever these other players, and of course, everybody has a history, they got sold on something in order to get the agreement in the first place. Somebody said something that they wanted to hear and appealed to them, and they initially decided to go where they was going. Now, it switched over when you had a little bit of time to sit down and marinate. It's just like anything else. You can use the microwave, or we could slow cook it. And when you slow cook something, you got to let the seasons get in the meat, moisturize, tenderize, give you the better flavor when it's finished because it's slow cooked. And I believe he kind of sat there and was cooking. And as he was cooking, he was realizing, you know what, I think I'd rather go here. And ultimately, he changed his mind. And guess what? He got $2 million extra per year out of the situation. So I think it was a great move. And am I going to, you know, sit here and ridicule him for changing his mind? Of course not, because like you say, Lou, players have been doing this before. It's nothing new. And then on top of that, we all know lawyers. These owners are never loyal to anybody or anything. So,
yeah. You know, the real people that are ridiculing this situation is the media. The media themselves are ridiculing it because they want to be right about a story that they report, which they're idiots because they should know that nothing is finalized until a certain date. So, players can do and choose whatever they want up until that date comes.
Well, I look at it like this. The story wasn't wrong. They just want, see what it is, it's like people like shock and awe. And actually, believe it or not, actually the media is actually happy that this happened because it gives us more things to talk about. It is the more controversy, is more, you know, by the water cooler talk conversation. We want to have something to occupy our minds, and we want to flood the public and act upset, but really, it's not really that much of a big deal. And obviously, it's a big deal for Dallas because, hey, they lost a big man. And I'm not talking about DeAndre Jordan. I'm talking about Tyson Chandler. You lost him. He should have did everything or pulled out the stops to maintain him because he's still a pretty solid defensive, you know, presence, and they turn around and let him go. And
yeah,
you figured that you was going to have DeAndre, and it didn't quite work out. And like you say, these things have a deadline to them. Even so, I'm pretty sure because Mark Cuban seemed to be, he gave a little, you know, kind of, you know, reserved response, but I know and you know that this wasn't really a great situation for him. He wasn't happy about the way that went down. So I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I know he's not going to be happy about it, but really when I look at this situation, both teams didn't do this the right way. The Clippers didn't do it right and Dallas didn't do it right because Dallas didn't really do a lot to even try to sway this guy to stay. He just got one player, you know, over there just to talk to him, and that's pretty much it. The Clippers, they really screwed up. I mean, they almost really screwed up this situation because they basically didn't do anything. They didn't start doing anything until after he left and until he started changing his mind, thinking that he wants to come back. Then you want to send people over to Dallas to talk to this guy, set up meetings, you know, and all of that stuff. Why he wasn't doing that before when he was there with you, knowing that he's a free agent? They basically just sat there and let this happen.
Because, you see, that's why I say, because listen, in my point of view, I'm looking at it like this. Chris Paul is the Clippers. He's the leader of that team. And like it or not, DeAndre Jordan did not get along with Chris Paul. We know that. That's documented. It's been, you know, the rumors going around between those two for the longest, over the past two seasons. So we know that there's some type of tension between those two. Okay? So he was feeling unappreciated. That's why he was talking to other teams or talking about new contracts going somewhere else in the first place. So they had already reserved to pretty much let him know, well, you know, we like you, but you're not Chris Paul, okay? And they let him go out there and test it. He went out there and he tested it. And just like I said, this is why I say for the most part, if you could have talked him out of the situation, to me, when he made the initial situation or initial agreement, Dallas was actually snoozing. And I don't really blame either team, to be quite honest with you. What I blame is the system, because the system is what it is. Either you lower the days to where you have to finalize something, or you leave it the way it is. But, you know, like I know, if we limit that down and bring it down to 1 or 2 days, then one or two things are going to happen. And more than likely what's going to happen is this situation. And guess what? This situation brings more attention and more eyes on this story. So it's great for the NBA to have these kinds of stories, because it gives us great conversation and we can sit here and talk about this for 20 and 15 minutes. I look at it just the way it happened. I'm not going to blame Dallas. The only thing I could have said about Dallas is by the time, you know, the Clippers realized, by the time he realized that he wanted to still be a Clipper, I think it was pretty much up in air. I think it was a foregone conclusion. It was done. I don't think it was anything that they could have done or Cuban could have done to keep him. He wasn't going to stay there because he really was looking, kind of looked at the situation and said he's going over there. Because remember, I even told you when this thing was going, I said, you know what? I don't think anybody's going to be able, he's not going to strive in this situation. That's what I told you, right? I said, I don't think he's going to be as good in Dallas as he was with the Clippers. I don't think so, because Blake Griffin and Chris Paul make it easy for him, because they score and they create shots and they make it. And this guy, he has a good inside presence, and he doesn't have much of an offensive game, but he's a powerful defensive presence, and he can't shoot free throws. That's detriment to the team. And I think he realized he would have to take more of a role with that kind of money playing with that team. And I think that's what kind of got him, and he just said, you know what, I'd rather just stay in LA. I deal with the issues that I got with Chris. Me and him will work it out. Let me go ahead and just deal with that. Primarily.
Yeah, because the issues with Chris is better to deal with the issues back home.
Oh, yeah. Much. Well, I don't know. I look at it like this. You're making $20 million over there, but then also, you know, it's no state tax. So actually, you're making pretty solid money. And, yeah, you was raised over there, but I look at it from a competitive standpoint. You don't have a chance to win a championship on that roster as good as you do with that Clippers roster. They just beat San Antonio in the playoffs. that was one step. Had they just put their foot on the gas, they would have beaten the Houston Rockets and been in the conference finals against Golden State. It's like, that's how close they are. And it's like, listen, you can go to Dallas if you want to, but at the end of the day, you're not going to have as much success as you did out here. And it's true. I don't believe he would have. So I know he had to think about that, and that had to be part of the thought process. It's like, you know, plus you get a little bit more money, but yeah, come on, California, state tax and all, you're not going to get as much money as you was at Dallas. Not a chance. So that's primarily how I see it.
He would have lost all his money in Dallas anyway with all the scumbags he know down there.
I'm not even sure if he himself is not a, you know, caught up in it. I haven't really heard anything bad about him towards anything. So, I'm not sure. And, of course, Wesley Matthews basically is heading to Dallas, just like he said. Now, you know, of course, you know, people are making comments about it. Doc Rivers and the such are basically saying what they're saying about it and saying, hey, you know, it just is what it is. You know what I mean? He changed his mind and it happens, and it does happen quite often. And there's nothing wrong with him changing his mind, in my estimation. I think everybody that's in that position, they have the right to do it, they can do it. So that ought to be somewhat the basis of the knowledge. Now, I look at also, move forward to the next door, I hear a situation with Zadie Divac coming out to the public basically saying, hey, you know, North Carl and Cousins is not really pretty right now.
Really? I'm shocked.
Oh, my goodness. My whole thing is, why do you even cause yourself stress? Why do you allow yourself to be in this situation? He just shouldn't have said anything. Don't say anything. You got to keep your mouth closed. You have to keep yourself together. You should never make it worse than what it already is. It's like he should know that better than anybody else. And he just opened his mouth, Lou. Opened his mouth. And it's like I don't understand why he did that. That's, but you know, he put gasoline on the fire. I mean, he didn't really leave anybody any kind of secrecy now. It's all out there now. It's all out in the open. Everybody knows about it. You could have just let it die down slowly, kept it indoors, but you had to say something. And now that they say something, or now that they, you know, open their mouth and made mention of it, now what are you going to do? That's only going to really widen the gap because they're going to get asked questions about it. So, you know, Vadi Divac, I don't know, you know, what is he, a GM? Is he, what is Divac to that organization?
I think he's VP. VP of operations.
Bad move, VP. Bad move. It's just gonna go in a you know, you can just tell it's gonna be a bad situation for him. It's not gonna work out. He's going to lose.
They are losing. Nobody wants to go there.
Obviously.
Nobody wants to have nothing to do with Sacramento. All of the garbage that was starting out even before the season started. Owner talking about, oh, just cherry pick, you know, during defense, you know, all that crap. You know, this.
But didn't he say something like he'd rather play with four players on the court? Something.
Yeah, that's what he was saying. Something crazy. That's what he was saying. He was saying on defense, just have four people on defense on one end and have someone cherry pick on the other end.
What an idiot. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And this guy's worth billions of dollars, see? And remember I was telling you, when you call a billionaire an idiot, everybody puts their hands in the air and be like, what are you talking about? Yeah, I'm talking about the fact that he's stupid.
Yep, and you trade and you fire a coach during the season where they had a legitimate chance of making the playoffs in like 8 or 7 seed, you know, midway through the season, then you just fire him out of nowhere. And now look at the situation he's in now.
And guess what? He was actually had a great relationship with Cousins. And you know, I don't know. People, they make these decisions and it's like retarded. I'm not sure why they even do the things they do. They just pretty much ruin any kind of sensibility that you know, anyone can have. You know, they don't have it. They just totally just make the dumbest mistake that you can possibly make out of anything else. So, you know, that's our priority. And then, of course, Parsons comes out. I didn't want to talk about that. I'm sorry. Wrong thing. But what I did want to talk about is LeBron James signed. He's not signed yet, but he's going to go for that two-year deal for $46.9 million, which is pretty good. You know, that's pretty close to, $24.5 million a year?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty low for him because he's actually worth more. But he's probably trying to make space for all the other players. That's what it's basically 2 year, 1 year. So he'll negotiate back at the table next season. After that, to see whether he's going to pick up his option for the next season. So
I think this is pretty much the move he's going to make. He's putting everything, he's putting the general management up against the wall. Make sure that they keep making the right moves after every season.
Yeah, that's true. And basically, that means he has control of that team, total control of that team, and that's their problem, that's their fault. They shouldn't have been ran their mouth. Now, see, this is why you always leave in a good way, in a good light, because you never know when you have to backtrack. You never know if you have to be at the mercy of somebody else. And this is beautiful to me because we always see the owners get over on the players. But now we have a perfect opportunity to see that, hey, this time the player's getting over the owners. And I feel it's wonderful. It feels great. I almost feel like dancing for joy because of it. Works out well. So, you know, that's primarily what's going on. Let me shift gears here and get into the NFL. And two main things happen, and this is why you have to be careful what you get yourself into, because people don't understand, you know, when you become a certain point at a certain age or whatnot, people are constantly watching you. They're constantly seeing what you're doing. And, you know, if you do an act of ignorance, then things happen. And I've never, ever myself personally, like, I like watching fireworks, but I don't like lighting them up or being involved in any of those kind of situations because I'm always fearful of something bad happening, mainly with the fire. You know what I'm saying? And here over the weekend, 4th of July weekend, two NFL players got jacked up when it came to that. One of them getting severely injured, and the other one lost a finger. And look what he did, and I'm going to show you. Because, listen, one thing I can say about the NFL, like their business team, the owners, they don't play. Like, they have their situation put together. You know, Jason Pierre-Paul of the New York Giants defensive end, big rush-in, the last of the better rush players on that defensive line that's still there. Remember, Justin Tuck gone, O.C. Umanera went over there to Atlanta, and, of course, Strahan retired. And he's like one of the last guys left. And, boy, he got into a situation where he lost his finger. And the process of him losing his finger this week, that was the only thing he lost. Now the New York Giants have threatened pretty much to go ahead and franchise. And this is the thing. I'm going to tell you what. If you're smart and if you're a great player, getting franchised means nothing. Actually, it's a benefit. Yeah, it's not a long-term deal. It's not a long-term situation. But, hey, he can make up to $14 million. Now, see, if he shows out and he does well, guess what happens next year? if a person is smart, you can utilize and do what Darrell Revis did. Darrell Revis, for the past 2 to 3 seasons, basically took the guaranteed money, right, with no guarantees behind it, which is what the franchise tag is. They give you an average based on what that position plays at that level and for the veteranship, and you get a pretty solid number. And I'm looking at it like this. If you do that for 2-3 years without injuries, you've maximized anything you could possibly do. You made more money than you could possibly, you know, fathom. And that's primarily what Darrell Revis did for the past 2 seasons. He got, what, $16 million from Tampa. Left, went to New England, got another 12. And now he got all this guaranteed money. He's the smartest person in the NFL. And it's always about the money. He already got a Super Bowl. So it's like, you look at these guys, he turns around, gets caught up in this situation, loses his finger, and now he's a franchise player. They're talking about franchising. And now he's upset. But it's like, what do you think was going to happen? Obviously, this had to be crazy. Something like this was going to happen. Then the Bucs had the same situation happen with one of their players, C.J. Wilson. His hand got injured. I don't know, what is the problem with these cats putting their fingers on the firecracker? Or put, you know, this is why, you know, aren't you supposed to stick the stuff in the ground or stand it up,
you know,
and then go somewhere else to light it?
Was it firecrackers, or is it those little Roman candle things?
It probably both. They say firecrackers, but I have a feeling it's those Roman candles.
I think it's the Roman candles, and they probably were stupid and put some stuff in it.
See, and some of them try to hold it and then try to toss it. And I tell you what, man.
Yeah. No, they just hold
like
it. You just hold it and shoot it. Yeah, the Roman candles, you just hold and shoot. Because I see all the time, like, on the 4th of July, they'll have, like little fights with the Roman candles, just shooting sparks at each other.
I'm not holding a Roman candle in my hand, a Roman candle. See, I got tongue twisted there. I said a Roman camel. A Roman candle I am not holding in my hand. I'm just not going to put myself through, you know, the issues or even try to put myself in that situation to lose. To me, that is a losing situation. Nothing good could come out of that. Now, if I want to see the fireworks show, I'll go ahead and put it right there on the cement and light it and let something else shoot it. I'm not going to do it because I know this is a possibility of something that can happen. And then what's the other one? There's another one where you kind of handle, what they call that, man. It's another one that kind of, what's the one that everybody sees at Disney World and all that, what are those?
What?
If you go to Universal, those real big ones. What do they call them?
I don't know.
That's the one you're shooting there.
Oh, yeah.
Disney has those big.
I don't know what they're called.
All right. So then you have the firecrackers. Then you have those Roman candles. Then it's like, man, listen, I'm not putting my hand in that. Okay? I'm in a long string and I'm getting somewhere. And I'm going to light that string up, and then I'm going to walk away. But these guys be trying to handle this stuff with their hands, and that's how they be getting screwed over. Time in and time again. Every time you see this, and it's like, it's not just them. It's like different people and different men get caught up in this kind of situation where they want to handle these things. They handle them, and then, man, they get the missing fingers and limbs. And it's like, no way, I can't. I would never put myself in that kind of situation. But look what this whole scenario has cost him. Now he loses all that guaranteed, a chance of a long-term contract for one night, and he loses his finger.
Yep.
I don't know. Sounds pretty unwise to me. I mean...
Hey, man, we just got to, but we're trying to have fun. It's 4th of July.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And you know, they had a video footage of him, this guy, how he was basically rejoicing on how he had the fireworks and what he was going to do. And it's like, just a few minutes after that, or maybe even an hour or so after that, he's to the hospital and now they're amputating his finger. And, you know, they tried to get on Adam Schefter for breaking the story and putting it on, putting a picture up on the show on ESPN. And it's like, he's not, you know how it is, man. Hospitals have to deal with that kind of situation, not him. Somebody basically sold him that for the story. It's not like anything else. When a person, when you see, you know, a reporter going out somewhere and all of a sudden they have an inside scoop, it's because somebody else sold it to him. You know what I mean? That's what it is.
That's how it works.
That's how it works. And the person that sells it to him, they are the ones that are really underneath a lot of those HIPAA laws, or, you know, under where they can't share information and stuff like that. That's because it's a hospital. It'd be those people. So don't get mad at the reporter. He's just doing what he's supposed to do. Well, you know, ignorance is bliss for them. People love ignorance. That's what they want.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Ray McDonald basically got charged with the domestic violence situation. He's the one that had an issue with the 49ers, right? Went to Chicago, got into another situation. Man, you just escaped one, and you've seen what happened to, you know, Greg Hardy. You saw what happened to Ray Rice, and here it is. You just don't quite understand what's going on. And basically they cut him, and he's done. So, like, now, you know, he's just going to basically face off in court, and they're going to basically see what's going on with that. So, you know, some things you just got to be wise. You can't allow yourself to be caught up in. You just can't. I mean, it's too risky, right, Lou? People have much more to lose now than they did ever before. Like, you could really make a serious mistake, and it would affect you for the rest of your career. It will follow you. Affect the money that you could possibly make for the possible, you know, the next few years. Ruin contracts. So, you know, that's primarily what I see. That's kind of what I observe. That, and of course, you know, here we go with Goodell saying the Brady decision is coming soon. I wish you could just say how soon. Like, this whole thing was just dragged out. Nobody really cares. Did Tom Brady know about deflated balls? I believe so. To what degree, we don't know. Maybe he has plausible deniability, you know, to the point to say, well, you know, I really don't know. And maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's not specifically sure on what those balls were supposed to be. Or as far as, like, when the ball was given to him and once they tested it. Well, I think he knew something, that naive or stupid, especially him. who really does that? When you think about it. I mean, you got with Giselle. That seems to be pretty wise on my behalf. It's not much dumb about that. That's pretty smart. So you got that right. You should have got it. You should, you know, I'm pretty sure that, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know, man.
Yeah. We're not going to hear about this for another, 2 months.
Well, hopefully not. I think it'll be probably within next week. He said soon, I'm guessing next week. A little bit of give him my idea to go ahead and make a call on what's going on. You know what I mean? I expect him to come out and just say, hey, you know, we reduced it 2 games, and there it is. And basically, that's what it is. I don't think he's going to wipe out the whole thing unless Tom Brady has some real, real, real convincing evidence. Of course, he prolonged the investigation in the first place. Could have easily cooperated them early on if he was innocent. That's why I believe he's not. But man, we'll see. I think he has some knowledge of some. I don't think they have enough information to kind of pin anything hard on him, but 2 games.
Right.
What I see. And I did want to talk about one thing, the quarterback out there at Florida State.
Yeah.
How that guy, did you see that? Did you see that
yeah.
video? It's basically, let me give people an illustration. I'm sure you know you've seen it if you paid attention. He goes to a club and looks like he's trying to get a drink, and he kind of nudges a woman, and he nudges a woman, and I guess she responded to him in a way he didn't really like. Then he turned around and said something crazy. And when he said something crazy, you can tell obviously she probably was drunk. She turned and slapping him and trying to hit him. And he just turned around, caught his hand back, and he dropped her. And it's
he
like,
grabbed her. She was pushing up on him. He grabbed her, and she was trying to break free of him. And in the process of her breaking free of him, she went dumb. And then that's when he hit her back.
He lucky almost took her head off with that blow. It's not. See, this is the thing, man.
And everybody was perfectly fine with what was happening.
You know what? No, what it is, people don't want to get involved. And it's like you gotta know if you're a professional athlete. Come on, man. It's like you gotta have sense enough to know when to cool the situation down. When he initially bumped into her in the first place, that's the problem I got, number one. You bumped into her in the first place. So right off the top, you're not going to get a positive situation every time you bump somebody. Because if you look in the video, there's a girl like behind him that she kind of turned around and looked like, man, what's going on? Because this guy's just going to the front. So, okay, she responds in a way you don't like. Well, he could have cooled down the situation right then and there and be like, hey, you know, my apologies. I was wrong. My bad. I'll give you some space. And it would have been all but been done and finished. But then he turns around and he you know, it's like, man, what do you expect to happen? And especially in the kind of environment that is going on right now, when domestic violence is like the worst thing. How do you get yourself caught up in a situation like that?
And plus, he wasn't supposed to be there in the first place.
Man, see, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, he's 19.
I didn't even know that. I was, because he was getting drinks, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He sure it was. That club had an age limit on it, or?
Yeah, yeah.
Or was it the fact that?
You're not legal to drink until you're 21.
Yeah, no, he definitely broke that, but the club, I'm guessing the club is like some kind of college club. But, you know, what is it? You made up, make a point. I mean, you're getting, what are you doing? he might be, he's not a freshman, is he?
Yeah, he's a freshman.
I don't think the guy. Oh, he is? I didn't know that. Well,
he's a freshman.
That's just more,
nobody,
you know,
nobody knows who he is.
I know he's like supposedly the backup quarterback, but you know, Florida State had name from Notre Dame, Everett Golson went over there and joined that team. Left Notre Dame, went there, he's obviously gonna get the starting position. I think this guy was almost like he's the next guy up. And not anymore.
He was like the third guy.
He's the third string guy?
Well, yeah.
He ruined his future. I think he's pretty much done now.
Yeah, he got it.
I mean, he's not going to get redeemed now, and it's like he's not going to, more than likely, he's not going to get brought in by any type of Division I team. He's going to be playing for one of those smaller colleges, and hopefully that could work for him. But, man, I tell you what, he really messed up his stuff in this situation. He should have been smarter and wiser than that. It's like, come on, man. You had to know cameras was going to be there. You had to know, first off, even with cameras was there, man, you can't do that, man. You can't do that. You can't do that, man. Man. I tell you, that's no good, man.
Yeah.
No good. And, yeah, it looks like, let me see. He is a quarterback. talking about. I don't know what to say, third string.
Nobody. All the people on campus, like all the fans of the school who watch the games, they don't know this guy. I like never heard of this guy.
I don't think he was he definitely is not a main guy. And you kind of see let me tell you, some of these players come in the league, they come in a bit like they're entitled? I got entitlement issues. Like they just come on and just do anything. And it's like, man, you can't do anything. You just cannot do it. And it's like, what are you doing? But, you know, they come in with a sense of entitlement, have this attitude, like they can do and they can say and nobody has to pay attention. And, boy, it turns bad ugly. Turns hideous real quick.
Yeah.
And, you know, next thing you know, you're a youngster and everybody's aiming for your head trying to figure out, hey, you know, who's this douchebag? who's this clown? And that's basically what happened to him. So, you know, he's finished. He's finished. And, just didn't quite work out. Man, quite work out for that guy. So we'll see what happens moving forward. Not for him, but Florida State. Like I said, Everett Golson is going to more than likely be the starter anyway. He's the senior. He's the big recruit from Notre Dame. He was good. He was great there and coming back. And of course, I think Sean McGuire was the second string. And, you know, I think they had a sophomore up there that I don't know if he was redshirted last year. This John Franklin the third. And that was it. I think they got like a freshman. That'll be what it is. But he just basically ruined any opportunity for him. You know, that people don't think about things until it happens. Like, you realize – he had probably worsened his chance of making the NFL by about 60 to 70%. He made his chances that much worse. He had opportunity to possibly try to make it to the next level and make some decent money. And now it's pretty much finished. Like, he's going to have to be an exceptional type of athlete thing around. Basically, he's going to be a regular guy to play football, gets a degree. And I mean, you threw away millions for thousands. All
junior
off the
college for you, buddy.
Man. Junior college. Sadness. It hurts. It doesn't hurt too bad. So, you know, they just pretty much have to figure that thing out because it's a wrap. And of course, in Ohio State, it's Ohio State news with JT Barrett, Cardale Jones, and Braxton Miller are still trying out for the starting position. Miller says his shoulder's doing well. And look at this thing. You know, Braxton Miller was a favorite, or one of the favorites, to win the Heisman last year before he got injured. Then JT Barrett comes in as a second string. And this guy does a phenomenal job. You know, he struggled. I think they lost against Penn State. But he pretty much brought that team back, got better. And they just put one of the best, you know, runs together. Then he gets injured. Then this guy, Cardale Jones, comes in. And you just look at what they just did getting in there. You know, they beat Michigan State. They turn around, they beat Alabama. And then they turn around and win the championship over Oregon. And it's like, which quarterback do you go with? I mean, that's a tough decision. When you have that much success in that short, you know, period or short span of time, it's like, man, who do you go with? But all I know is that's a good problem to have, because what's been demonstrated is that at least he has three different guys that could lead him to the promised land. If I'm Braxton Miller, I would have transferred somewhere else. Went to another university because, listen, you know, but see, I see what he thinks he can win, but if he doesn't win, I don't know. JT Barrett has another season. He can come back. Cardale Jones looks like he's going to be out of it come next year or the year after. And I think because of his size and his build, he's going to be somewhat of a prospect, maybe first, late first round, early second round. Could even change before then. So we'll have to see. I mean, his first shot, you know, his first show that he demonstrated coming in, it's like it was, he did a wonderful job. I mean, what can you say? He basically won a national championship with his arms and his legs, and primarily his arm. He read defenses. He made good throws. He was smart with the ball. Didn't really turn it over. Protected the ball. But, you know, some of the things he said in the media, that's the question for the maturity. And like we say, Lou, the next level of pro, this is pro. Everybody has the same abilities and talent, except some of us are smarter than others. And the smart ones last and make careers of themselves, and they work hard, and they become superstars, and they become Hall of Famers, and the rest of them just fall to the wayside.
Yep.
Certain positions. You cannot have instability in certain positions. And basketball is the point guard situation. You cannot have an immature point guard, because if you do, your team is in trouble. Let's just face it. Sometimes you get teams that have the luxury of having what they call point forward. Cleveland, right? Teams mm-hmm. like that. Guy is big enough to play forward or small forward, but he has the handles to play guard, and that's what they use. And your top point guards, look at the teams and their record with the top point guard. I urge somebody to look that up. There's name. All you got to do is name your the best point guard or the point guards in the league and look at those teams and look how good they are year after year. So it's the thing. I mean, it's pretty much, and the same thing goes for the NFL as well. Your best players or your best teams, look at the quarterback. Who are the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and then look at the team. Every year, New England, Denver, Colts, yeah, Steelers, the Ravens. And you look at the other division, you got Seattle. I mean, bro, it's quite simple. Dallas, even. Green Bay. Those teams have great quarterbacks. So your quarterback and your point guards, people that play the influential, that make the decisions and run the plays, those guys do not have the luxury of being immature, because if they are, they won't last long. That's just me real about it. And that's the thing. The transition in college, everybody is playing, and you have greater skill and talent than everybody else. So when you go and play, yeah, your physical abilities can get you to a certain level. But when you get to the NFL, your physicality is the same. Now, it's who's smarter and who can make the best play. It's what it is. So,
yep.
And that's true in the NBA, too. So, Lou, any story you want to leave us with here before we go ahead and tap it out?
Well, we still got some more stuff going on in the league. A few more signings and a trade. Boston has traded Gerald Wallace to the Warriors for David Lee.
Yeah, I saw that. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good trade for both teams.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know, because Gerald Wallace barely played all this season, so I don't know if it was up bad. I don't know if he was hurt, but I barely saw him at all this season. He didn't have no career-ending injury, so I don't know what the deal was. Maybe he decided to like sit. Maybe he just decided to like be more on the teaching side for the younger guys, probably, but. I don't know. Either way, it does work out for both teams, maybe.
I think so. Lee's still young enough, and he can make an impact and have the ability to be on that roster. I think he could be a starter on that Boston team. And, of course, Wallace is solid. I know he's probably tailed off a little bit the past two seasons or three seasons, but he'd be a good bench addition and somebody that can come on and play physical and produce a little bit. I think he has that ability still, so we'll see. I think it was a good trade.
Yeah. And we have Jeremy Lin. Jeremy Lin is now with the Hornets.
Oh, my.
Hey, man. And what was it? Jeremy Lin with the Hornets. Trying to find a list so it has all the, you know, moves more quickly. Here we go. Yeah, he's with the Hornets now, as well as we already know Spencer. So that helps with the front line as well. Al Jefferson opted in, so he's staying. Miami Heat, looks like they will possibly get Jael Green. So that is a huge loss for Phoenix, now that he is possibly gone.
Man.
Yeah. Washington pick up Gary Neal and also gets Jared Dudley in a trade from Milwaukee. God's Pacific. Yeah, we already know about Draymond Green. He signs in Lance Stevenson. Oh, yeah, and Wesley Johnson signs with the Clippers from the Lakers. So that's a real good pickup for them as well.
Say that one more time. That last
Wesley
one, the Lakers signed who?
No, I said the Clippers. The Clippers get Wesley Johnson. He signs with the Clippers. So he's not going back to the Lakers. And he played real good for them.
Yeah, but you know who's the owner of that? I'm thinking what he's trying to do is open up some cap space. I believe that's what he's doing. He's trying to open up cap space. And we'll see.
And going to the Lakers, we already know Lewis Williams, Brandon Bass, Roy Hibbert. They're there. Here's Phoenix. Who's Phoenix at? Yeah, they re-signed Brandon Knight. They also got Tyson. Jael is gone. Brandon Wright, I think I just saw him going somewhere else. Not with Phoenix. I'm going to see if that comes up again. So I think they lost him too. And also one of the Morris twins they traded away with Danny Granger.
Danny Granger got traded finally?
Yep.
Wow. And it seems like he was in purgatory. Like, you know what? I don't know what's going on. See, Indiana, like, they just blew their team up, right?
Yeah,
West
well.
West is gone. Hibbert is gone. Granger's gone. Now, who's left? Oh, I know. Mauricio Scola.
It's Lewis.
I call him Mauricio. He doesn't believe it.
Along,
he doesn't look like a Lewis. Looks like Mauricio. Mauricio, magnifico.
Tim Duncan re-signs $5 million. You know, whatever. He signs for some pennies.
Yeah, he just wants more rings.
Yeah.
I mean, they got all rings.
Yeah, they got their team stacked, so. They're more than fine. Garnett.
Yeah, between them, listen, three teams, Lou, just like you say, it's going to be Golden State, it's going to be San Antonio, and it's going to be the Clippers. Those are your teams in the West. I don't see anybody else compete on that level. Dallas is done, okay? Oh, yeah, and Memphis, because every sign could fall, but they let Millsap go, didn't they? Didn't he go to Atlanta or something like that?
No, Seth's always been with Atlanta. You're thinking of Randolph. Randolph is still under contract with them.
Zach Randolph. Oh, man. They remind me of each other. But did Millsap ever play for Utah?
No.
Oh,
oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's where he was drafted from.
Long time ago, right? So, okay, but, you know, Memphis would be the fourth team I would pick, and everybody else is almost like, okay, why are you even playing? Oh, wait a minute. I can't discount New Orleans because they're young and up and coming. So.
Oh, and I forgot about that. Now, you know, we have to ban Davis from the league. We have to. Now he's working on his three-point shot. He's doing everything else. Now he's working on a three-point shot now.
Ex-point guard. See, that's the thing. You got to be very careful because the further away you get, the further away you get from the ball. You're going to miss three-pointers. Best three-point shooters are shooting, what, 45%? So,
yeah.
If he ain't doing close to 40, that's like, man, I mean, 60% of your shots are coming off the glass. And who's going to rebound if you're the big man? So
they have another big man there. They re-signed him. I forgot his name. Oskic, something like that. But he's pretty good. So New Orleans there.
Oskic.
Yeah.
I think didn't he play for like Houston and then he's a Russian guy, right?
Uh huh.
Yeah. So. We'll give it in, but we'll go ahead and wrap it up, leaving with beautiful music. We'll catch them on Monday, 8 o'clock Monday. And, of course, you know, we'll have more stories as things break. And, of course, I'm sure it's going to be more conversation going on between what's going on DeAndre Jordan and his mentality. So, with that, feeling it, leaving good. I'm your host, the Magician. And, of course, you've got Blumatic tuning, zoning out. Sports Lounge. Peace.
I'm feeling